like that intro song. That one hits hard, Dave. You nailed it. I'm always excited, like, the week one of any series, I'm always pumped to hear what the song is, and rarely am I let down. Sometimes I'm confused, but rarely let down. But that one, that slaps, as the kids says. I don't really know what that means, but they say it. So hopefully I didn't say anything inappropriate in front of a whole congregation. Yeah, worldwide. Last week we celebrated Easter, if you remember, and it was one of maybe my favorite Sunday ever as the pastor of Cross Point Fellowship. And I know you're not supposed to rank Sundays, probably. I didn't take a class that told me not to do that, but I'm assuming you're probably not supposed to. But last Sunday was just great, wasn't it? I mean, there was so much energy and so much life, and you just felt the presence of God from start to finish. And I left being so incredibly full. And it kind of made me chuckle just a little bit because, you know, through that kind of series of events, you have to imagine the ups and downs that the disciples were feeling, and how, like, at least before Jesus rose again, they were probably not feeling the way that I was feeling. It had quite the opposite effect. But we got to experience and talk about and see the triumph of Jesus and the triumph that he had over the grave. And what a moment for his disciples to see after spending life with him during his 3 years of ministry. What a moment to finally kind of have their eyes opened and to see the truth of what Jesus had been teaching them, because really prior to that, they hadn't quite understood. And maybe even right after his resurrection, there's still some confusion. But we're about to talk about the Spirit that Jesus sends to take his place. He refers to him as the Helper, often translated as the Counselor. And so we're getting ready to experience with the disciples, I feel like, what they would have experienced in the short time frame after the resurrection of Jesus. And I think that I want to start in Hebrews 13:5, which says, "Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." And I think that's the most important part. Now, Jesus is quoting previous scripture from the Old Testament. It's a message that God delivers to the Israelites, but it's also a message that Jesus wants, or that we see the writer of Hebrews want people to remember. And it was a promise that was good from Jesus as well. Verse 6 continues, "So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper." There's that word, helper. "I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." What a just powerful message of hope, right? And just the constantness, I'm assuming that's a word, of Jesus, right? The just completely level, foundational strength of Jesus, right? That it's unwavering. You see, the gifting of the Holy Spirit is the fulfillment of the promise that God will not leave us nor forsake us. I truly believe that, right? In that passage where we are quoted, where we see that promise that we will not be left, we will not be forsaken, that's what the Holy Spirit kind of solidifies and solidified for the disciples themselves. In Acts chapter 4, verses 4 through 9, we see Jesus kind of prepare his disciples to receive the Spirit. It says, "And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?'" And again, shows kind of that misunderstanding the disciples had, because Jesus wasn't there to hop on the white horse and come and reestablish the nation of Israel. He was there to bring about the forgiveness of sins, right? "And said to them, 'It's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power,'" right? Don't worry about that, is basically what Jesus is saying. Don't worry about that. "What you do need to worry about is the fact that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.' And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight." Literally kind of one of the last things that Jesus had said to them. And it's one of these moments where you would assume, or at least you would feel like maybe the disciples would be like, "Wait, you just got back, right? Like, we just got you back. Where are you going, right?" But he's telling them to stay there to be prepared, to be ready to experience kind of the exchange in management, right? Like, we're going to gift you with the Holy Spirit. Now, this should have been something that kind of jogged their memory, okay? Like, brought them back to Jesus' previous words that we see in John 14, 15 through 17, where he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Okay, helper. He's referring to the Spirit, and as I've said, it's oftentimes translated as counselor. To be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. Okay, he's making it more the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So I find this passage interesting because it starts out by just kind of letting it be clear and expressing to us how we know that we truly love Jesus, right? And how Jesus knows that we truly love Jesus. If we love Jesus, we will keep his commandments, right? He's just kind of this blanket statement of, if you truly love me, if you're truly bought in, if you're truly back, if you're truly here, you will keep my commandments. And in doing so, that shows our allegiance, our affiliation, and our affection for him. Okay, we keep Jesus' commandments when we love him and because we love him. John 5:3 actually says that this is the love of God. It says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Keeping his commandments comes with the promise of the helper. Okay, keeping his commandments comes with the promise of the helper. And this is, I use the word promise, and maybe it was just because I couldn't think of a better word. This isn't like a quid pro quo, right? It's not like, hey, if you do this, then I'll give you this gift. It is, this is what shows that you love me, and for those that love me, they receive this gift of my love. That's what the Holy Spirit is. It is a gift of God's love. So this isn't one of those things. I'm not saying there's a trade-off. I want to be clear on that. But when we think about promise, we think of something that will surely happen, right? That's what I think of when I think of promise. Promise is something that will surely happen. And Jesus is saying, if you love me, right, which is shown by keeping my commandments, this will surely happen to you. I will surely send the helper to be with you. And I know I've said it multiple times, but I just want to, oftentimes referred to as counselor. And in my mind, that is maybe more appropriate than helper, right? Or just maybe more clarifying. Maybe that's the right word to say. It's more clarifying than the term helper, right? But the meaning, I think, here is the same. The meaning, I think, is the same. The helper, Christ tells us, will never leave us. And it is really his promise of never leaving us. We are promised an eternal presence. An eternal presence who receives his power from God the Father. Right? It is our connection to God. It logically seems to be that we are empowered by God through the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is in itself the Spirit of God. The helper, we are also told in that passage, is the Spirit of truth. Okay, if we look at John 14, 26, it says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, on my behalf, because of me, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. That's a pretty big help. It's a pretty big help. See, the Spirit of truth does a couple things for us when it comes to teaching us. The Spirit of truth leads us to truth in study, and it helps us discern the truth in the presence of confusion. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a conversation, and I don't think that this is just with spiritual matters. I think this is with all life matters, right? You've been in a conversation and you're trying to seek out the truth and you're trying to figure out how it applies to you. And that still small voice is there that says, yeah, believe this, or they're crazy, right? Like, don't. That's the Spirit. Right, the world tries to refer to that as, oh, that's the conscience, right? That's our conscience. Our conscience is trying to correct us. And that makes sense because Scripture tells us that they don't see or understand, right? They can't recognize the helper because they are not in Jesus and Jesus is not in him. And so not only do they have a trouble recognizing the Spirit trying to move in their lives, but also they often can easily ignore it because they don't have that connection. That's something that we as Christians cannot do, because the Spirit is available to all of us who know Christ, who love Christ. It is a promised gift to us. And the work of the Spirit does not go unnoticed in our life. nor can the Spirit's work be understated. The Spirit is our connection to Christ. Okay, it's our connection to Christ. If you've ever thought, man, what would Jesus do? The Spirit's like, I've got an answer, right? What would Jesus do in this situation? The Spirit's like, well, I can help you with that. Just listen, right? And it takes some practice to recognize the speaking of the Spirit. It takes some practice to be able to discern between what is good and godly from what is not, right? And the Spirit kind of partners with the Scripture, which we know is truth, and we kind of use those instructions that we're hearing and we apply them to Scripture to see if is this in fact from the Holy Spirit. Because as I have told others in the past, God does not work in contradiction. He's not a person who will contradict himself. He doesn't lead you to something that is not godly, right? Now, as far as what actually is godly or what actually is truth, that's why we have Scripture, because it lays it out. We don't have to be confused. We don't have to necessarily always be with question, because the Scripture reveals God's truth to himself. Okay? I mean, it's part of why I've been called to do the job that I do here, because God is seeking out for people to truly understand him, right? And so it's why my job is so important, why I take it so seriously, because I have a responsibility to help lead you in truth and not lead you astray. Because if I lead you astray, woe be it to me, right? I mean, it's one of the really intimidating parts about being a pastor. I think through everything that I say up here, and sometimes, guys, I still get it wrong, right? I still mess up. I still use a wrong word that maybe I haven't intended the meaning of. That's scary. But also, with the discernment of the Spirit, we can receive clarity and understand, yeah, I don't think that's what he meant, right? Or maybe not quite here. Or you can be led to, hey, go ask him about this, right? Go, and you come up and you say, hey, you said this. Did you mean that? And I'm like, when did I say that? You know, like, no, I did not mean that, you know? And the Spirit works for us in such wonderful ways. It is our counselor in all of life's many decisions, and it provides what we need when we need it. I.e., it teaches us all things and brings to remembrance all things that I, Jesus, has said to you, right? So here's what the Holy Spirit does for us. I want to look at a couple of different things that the Holy Spirit does for us. And I want to look at Scripture that kind of shows us him at work. Okay, the Spirit testifies to us about Jesus. In John 15, 26, it says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me." I want you to think back to the moment where you recognized the validity and the existence of Jesus Christ. You were led to that moment not by accident. Your eureka moment where the light bulb went off was the moment where the Spirit spoke to you, you heard, and you listened. It bears testimony to who Christ is. It bears testimony to the fact that he was the Son of God, that what he did for you on the cross was enough, that his sacrifice for the atonement of sins was accepted by God and accepted by God on your behalf. We're also told that the Spirit convicts us of sin. John 16, 8 says, "And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." See, part of us being able to recognize the Spirit's testimony about Christ is us also recognizing that we are sinful. Right? Our belief in Jesus came on the heels of us believing conviction that we have lived a sinful life, that we have committed sins in our life, and that we need forgiveness for those sins. Now, you think about it. Think about when you sin. What do you almost immediately feel? Regret? Shame? Conviction? Right? That's the Holy Spirit saying, hey, Dodo, that was dumb. Now, I'll tell you, I probably hear that as much as anybody in the room, right? I do something, I'm like, why did I say that? Why did I do that? That wasn't godly. That wasn't Christ-like. It convicts us of sin. It convicts us of our need to change, our need to not make the decisions that we have previously made. It leads us to apologize to others when we have committed those sins against them. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. That is how the Helper helps us. That is how the Helper counsels us through our day-to-day life. It's what keeps us in right standing with God and with others. The Holy Spirit does that. The Holy Spirit, as we have already heard, teaches us. Let's look at Luke chapter 12, verse 11 and 12. And it says, "And when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." Now, this is one of those things that, like, it's hard for us to understand and believe in unless we have truly experienced it, right? Because it's terrifying. It's terrifying. I'm supposed to rely on the Holy Spirit to teach me what to say in the middle of a conversation when I am debating really the existence of Christ, because that's really what this passage is talking about. I mean, she's saying, hey, when they bring you before these other leaders to dispute who you say I am and who I say I am, don't freak out. Don't worry about it. You're going to remember the things that I've taught you, and the Holy Spirit is going to put in your mind that very hour, that very moment, what it is that you need to say to them. And I only believe in this, I'll be honest, because I stand up here and preach in front of you every Sunday, and I'm telling you, I can't even express to you, if you've never felt it, have this pathway where it's like, hey, say this, don't say that. Whoops, you screwed that up. It's constantly going. And I have this outline that I mostly try to follow, and then I like look back at it sometimes. I'm like, I didn't preach that at all. Like, I don't know what happened or where I went and what did what, but it's constantly moving, right? But there are times where you need to say a certain thing and you may not have the words for it, and it's delivered to you. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit also delivers specific instruction. Acts 13:2 says that while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit audibly said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." Now, I have heard God, and I know this is going to be controversial, but I have heard God, what I would consider audibly speak to me twice in my life. The most recent was a couple years ago when we were as an eldership group talking about what we needed to do with our building, right? We were looking at trying to be better stewards with our money and with our funds and making sure that we were getting the most bang for our buck, so to speak, right? And we were looking at all different types of locations, and we had discussed for at least momentarily looking at like the south side of Springfield to see if there was something available to us or that we could use to just be better stewards of our income and to be able to make a better kingdom impact. And I was praying. And when I say I was praying, I mean like I was constantly praying. There was a period there for about a week where I just, if I was awake, I was praying about this very thing. And it was short, simple prayers. God, show me. God, tell me what to do. God, what do we need to do with our building, right? Like just, but I mean constantly, like heavy heart, mind clouded, just it was always there. Right? No matter what I was doing, I'm in the middle of school teaching, and it's like I'm literally praying while I'm talking about the introduction of Native societies into North America. Right? Like I'm sitting there praying about, God, what do I do with this building? What do we do with this building? And I will never forget this moment because I am driving down James River Freeway, which you don't want to be like have your mind in a different place while you're driving there. I don't know if you guys ever noticed that, but it's apparently quite dangerous. And I'm driving down James River Freeway, and I'm like just praying. Couldn't even tell you where I was coming from or where I was going or how I got there because I was just sidetracked. I'm just praying. And as I'm driving down and I'm listening to worship and I'm worshiping and I'm praying and I'm asking God, I hear a voice as clear as day, okay, say, "Stay in Republic." Short, sweet, simple, that was it. And our leadership can tell you, I came back and I said, I think maybe I messaged, but we had a leadership meeting that week and I just said, hey, we're staying here. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know if we can find another space in Republic. I don't know, but I just know that we're not supposed to leave this city. We're going to stay here. And I will never forget that moment, ever. And it's hard for me to express it to you if you haven't had a moment like that, right? And I know that there's people out there, there's lots of people out there who would say, man, I wish I had a moment like that. I would love to have a moment like that. I've sought out moments like that. I want a moment like that. And I understand that, okay? I understand that. I'm simply sharing my experience to tell you that it's a possibility. It's a possibility. It happens. And I know that there are other stories in this room of people who can say, God told me this, or I asked God to show me if he was real, and he did. Like, he came to me that night and he made it very abundantly clear to me that he's like, we have those stories. Okay. And I am far from, I don't even know how to explain this. Like, I'm very logical in my thought process and approach. And sometimes that's not great for my faith. Okay. Sometimes it works like it combats with my faith because I have a hard time believing things that I can't point to, right? Like, you tell me a miracle happened, I want to see the evidence. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I just want to see it. So I'm just telling you like where my struggle is, and I can be in your shoes while I'm saying this and be like, yeah, right, dude's hallucinating, right? Like, I'm just saying, I can understand, but I am telling you that I spoke with God. Or at the very least, he spoke to me. I didn't say anything back. I was just kind of like, look behind my shoulder. Who's, get out of here, Bill. No, I'm just, there was no Bill, right? But the Spirit delivers specific instructions to us. The Spirit also intercedes on our behalf. This is a lot like it will deliver the words to you when you need those words. But if we look at Romans 8:26, it says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Have you ever been in a moment where you needed to express something, pray to God, ask God for something, and you just didn't have the words? You didn't know how to do it? The Spirit's there working on your behalf. I can't tell you how many times I have had conversations with individuals in this room who are trying to explain to me a struggle or something that they're going through, and they just tell me, I don't have the words. They're trying to express it, and they're like, I just don't know how to say it. I don't know how to explain it. And I'll be like, is it this? And they're like, yeah, it's that. Right? I'm not like overly intelligent. Okay? I'm not super observant, my wife would tell you. I don't have any special abilities of discernment, at least I don't think I do, outside of what the Holy Spirit provides to me, right? The Spirit intercedes on our behalf and communicates on our behalf so often to God, right? I don't know how many times I've prayed to God and said, God, I need your help. I need you to work. I don't even know how. I just know that I need change, right? I just know that I need you to move. I just know that I need to be more like you and less like me. God, work. Whatever that looks like, right? The Spirit knows what we need, intercedes on our behalf. That's pretty cool. That's the helper. That's the counselor. The Spirit gives us strength. The Spirit gives us strength. Ephesians 3:16 says that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Now, this is the one that I think, maybe, again, maybe, has made the biggest difference in my life. I cannot tell you how many times in my life I have been in a scenario where I can't really explain to you how I made it through sanely. Okay? I always go back to the story of Jericho and Cordelia. And I'll share it, but I'll try to share it quickly because I always go on way too long. But for those of you that don't know our story, Jarek and I were married pretty young. We had we learned that we were pregnant before we were planning to be pregnant in our marriage. And about 6-7 months into it, we learned that we were going to have a child. And basically, that pregnancy was awful. I mean, from the very start, it was awful. Jerica was very sick. She had preeclampsia, which developed into HELLP syndrome, which basically means that your kidneys don't work and then your liver tries to help and your liver starts to shut down. Okay? We didn't know it at the time because our OB, our doctor at the time, was in her first year of residency. And God bless her, she didn't know what to tell us. She just, you know, stay off your feet. Don't eat salty foods, right? Jerrica's blood pressure was crazy. She started to retain fluid, over 100 pounds of fluid on her body. And as you might imagine, that's not good for your body. And I remember, like, we would go to these doctor visits, and her blood pressure would be like 170 over 110 or this or that. And, like, we'd be like, this isn't good, right? Like Jerrica's pretty health conscious and then, like, knows that's not good. And like, this isn't good. Like, what do I do? And doctor's like, just rest. And we're like, okay, we'll rest, right? And so we get up and we're pushing through this pregnancy, and it's just not great. And I remember the night we had gone to her little brother's baseball game at Parkview High School, and we sat next to her brother, and her brother didn't recognize her. Like, he didn't know who she was. And he was like looking, like, this person sat really close to me. What do you do? And all of a sudden he goes, Jerrica? And she's like, yeah. He's like, I didn't know that was you. And so we get home. She's like, I have a really bad headache. I don't feel good. Something's not right. We take her blood pressure at home, and it's 220 over 110. Don't know if you know that or not. Not good. Right? Not good. So we call, and they're like, yeah, maybe you should go to the hospital. And we're like, you think? So we go to the hospital, and they do this test for protein in your urine, right? And a normal number is like less than 100. Jerrica's was 17,000. It was the highest number that Cox South had ever seen. They said, we've never seen a number like this ever at any point. And they told me, they didn't tell her, we frankly don't know how your wife is still alive or how your baby is still alive, but they both are. And so we're taking the baby, and we're taking the baby because it's the only chance that your baby has to live. And frankly, if we don't, your wife is going to die like within the next hour. And so I remember calling, like, I called my mom. This is like 2 a.m. She didn't answer. I called her mom. She didn't, like, who answers the phone at 2 a.m.? I wouldn't. Like, I tried to sleep through the tornado the other night, and it didn't work. Jerrica's like, we got to get up, right? So there's that thing. But, like, nobody answered, and I was alone in the middle of this hospital. I was just told that my new wife and my baby were going to die. And I didn't know what to do. Now, I will tell you, I didn't handle it perfectly. There is a hole in a wall at the bottom of Cox South from my fist, because that was my expression of grief and anger and frustration, and it's just what came out at the moment. But I felt like I was dying. And I remember the prayers. You know, you hear those stupid country songs, take me, not her, blah, blah. Like, I was there. I'm like, hey, find a way. Like, you can kill me. Take my life right now. You can kill me. Like, I don't need to live. She needs to live. The baby needs to live. Figure it out. Like, I'm praying. Don't even know what to pray. Spirit's there. Right? Spirit's there. And I thought, I'm going to crumble in this moment. And I remember going through the whole process and them rushing us into surgery. And I was rather large at the time, like 470 pounds large at the time. And they couldn't find scrubs big enough for me. And they're like, we don't think you can go in because you don't have scrubs. And I was like, good luck keeping me out. I'm the size of a small rhinoceros, right? But, like, you're just praying through all of these little various pieces of things. And they're like, hey, we found the only size scrubs big enough for your giant body in the hospital. They just happen to be in the next room. Here you go. Right? I think about each little moment, and I can see God moving in the spirit, like, keeping me sane in that moment and delivering me out to the other side of that moment. And it took me years to look back on that and say, look how much God blessed us in that time. Look how the Spirit was working in that time. Right? I had strength that I did not have. Does that make sense? And I can't really explain it to you or express it to you without telling you stories about how I've seen it work. But the Spirit gives us what we need when we need. The Spirit, having the very same authority as Jesus, gives us confidence that Christ's promise of peace is not wanting. Because after all of these verses in John chapter 14, where he is expressing to them that the Spirit is coming and that it is the Spirit of truth and that it is there to help them and that it will be there to counsel them and supply for them the things that they need, he tells them in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And I think it is impossible to view that verse without viewing the first 26 verses of John chapter 14. You see, the peace that he gives us that is so different than what the world gives is because his presence is always with us. It never leaves us. It never forsakes us. It is by our side. And because he loves us and because we have committed ourselves to him and we receive this gift of love from him, that is what the Spirit does. You see, Jesus came and he walked this earth and he did his ministry and he died on a cross and he rose again and he secured for us life and forgiveness. And then, because his earthly mission was fulfilled, he got to go back to be at the right hand of his Father. But he didn't leave us alone. He gave us the Spirit of truth to teach us all things and remind us of all things of who Jesus was. And, might I add, is. We have a living Spirit of a living God that is right up inside of us, teaching us, helping us, guiding us, strengthening us, giving us words when we have none, telling us what to pray for when we don't know, an ever-present helper in our time of need. God loves you. God loves you. Isn't it so apparent? God loves you. Let's pray. God, I come to you right now. I thank you for this day. I thank you for the fact that you have given us the Holy Spirit. That God, we have the authority of you with us, that we can live life guided by your hand. That when we don't know what to pray for, God, you could tell us what to pray for. That when we are in confusion, you can bring about clarity. That you continue to teach us and lead us and convict us so that we may live a life that puts us in right standing with you. God, how blessed are we to serve a Creator that sent his Son to die for us while we were still sinners, who did the impossible for us by winning the forgiveness of our sins, who did the impossible for us by making the payment that we should have made on the cross in our stead, by doing the impossible for us by raising himself from the grave so that our sin would not conquer our life, but that we might have life despite of it. Who then, after all of that, says, I will never leave or forsake you, and a helper will be sent in my place, and that helper will be sent on my behalf, and it will be the Spirit of God. Lord, I am in awe. We are in awe. We may never comprehend, we may never understand, but man, we don't have to either. The Spirit will help us. Lord, this morning we thank you for the helper. We praise you for the helper. Lord, if there's anybody out there today who needs the helper, who needs the counselor, Lord, I pray that you help them understand and see that it is readily available to them, that if they have placed their faith and trust in you, it is there, and that all that they really need to do to have that be a part of their life, God, is to turn their life over to you, to listen to the Spirit's conviction of sin, and to hear the testimony that Jesus is the Son of God. Lord, be with them in their struggles. Help them to live a life that points back to you. We ask these things in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Let's stand and let's worship. Let's stand and let's worship. I think this is the perfect time to reflect on what it is that Christ has done for us, what it is that God the Father has done for us, and praise him for that. If there's something in your life that you need to pray for, come, pray with me. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. I want to intercede on your behalf while the Spirit intercedes on your behalf. Let God work, give him the glory, and turn over the reins. Let's worship.